Hi, I'm Bonnie Landry, and welcome to Make Joy Normal. With my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, and the guests we have on our show, we would like to share the opportunity to walk with you while you try to make joy normal in your own life. We're so grateful for all the listeners and for all the questions and the comments that we get on our show. We're just so thankful that you are tuning in and you have a desire to make joy normal in your own life. As part of your daily walk, we hope that we can support you in this. We ask that if this has been valuable to you, that you share, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out so that we can help others make joy normal too.
Okay, so what I'm talking about today is avoiding burnout as it pertains to homeschooling your kids. I think avoiding burnout is really the corollary to joy. You know, we it's the opposite of joy. We experience burnout when we don't experience joy. So I think it's a really important topic to address. And I think that we tend to get burned out pretty easily as moms. And I'm going to talk about three ways, three areas of our life where I think it's really important to work on, that I think it's really important to work on. And that's those three things are investing in our relationships, and investing in our environment, and of course, investing in ourselves. Those are the areas that we need to address when we're talking about burnout. When I say invest in relationships, it may not be exactly what you mean. As homeschoolers, what I mean by that is investing in sorting out what our priorities are as homeschool parents in relationship. So the priority needs to be that the relationship comes first. And I think what happens is that when we all go into this homeschooling career, we imagine something really beautiful. We imagine something really cozy. We imagine that our kids are going to be really curious and it's going to be this wonderful experience. You know, we foresee something in educating our own children, that's a really beautiful thing. Unfortunately, what happens in many cases is that we find ourselves sidetracked by getting through the material because the pressure of, you know, the system and the pressure of what grade they're in and the pressure of the curriculum that you've chosen and they need to finish weighs really heavily on us. And so we have a hard time getting ourselves outside of that so that we're back to that cozy place where our relationships come first. And the unfortunate part of it is that relationships have to come first. First of all, relationships create the fertile soil for learning, right? We don't learn in angst. We learn when we're soft and when we're happy, and that's when our brain is its most creative. The other thing is that when our relationships are good, everything is in its proper order, right? It doesn't mean necessarily that you don't have to use, that you can't use curriculum. I don't use a lot of curriculum. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to operate that way, but you can't let the curriculum own you. And if the curriculum you're using is owning you, as in, it's hard to be nice to your kid because you have to do the things that the curriculum is telling you to do, there's something wrong, very wrong with that picture. We have to be able to be kind and patient with our little people and our big people. And if the curriculum we're using is an impediment to that, you need to toss it out. Find something else. Find something that will work. That's really what my little books, all the little books I've written, these homeschooling simplified teeny weeny series is about, is how to build your relationship with your child while you're teaching them. And I address different topics in those books. But oftentimes what happens is as we're teaching our children, we're kind of tearing down the relationship. There's angst and there's frustration. And then when the lesson is over, then we can sort of start to rebuild the relationship again. And that's not very good in the big picture. And it's a sign that our priorities have moved away from probably our original intent. I don't think anyone intends to goes into homeschooling with the intent is I think I'm going to be really grumpy with my kids, and I think I'm going to be demanding and have expectations that aren't realistic with my kids. So that's a really important thing to be aware of, is investing in establishing what your priorities are. Now, here's the good news. If you feel like you're way far away from your priorities, and you think that you can't accomplish what you set out to do because you're maybe not the mom you thought you were, or your kids aren't behaving the way you imagined, the good news is that really establishing your priorities and making sure that the relationships come first is actually just a habit that you can build. And we can change anything in our lives, you know, in our lives. But we have to be aware, first of all, of what we want to change. And we have to go about changing in a pretty systematic way. And we kind of need a plan. So we need to assess our lives from time to time. And we need to develop a plan to get back on the track that we had hoped to be on, right? To be a loving mom with a beautiful and thing going on in your family where people are, you know, where homeschooling is a beautiful thing, isn't just an accident, right? You can make that happen. And I would suggest starting in really small ways. So, for example, okay, today I'm just going to be really kind during our math lesson. I'm going to be really supportive. I'm not going to get agitated. If I can see that my child's getting agitated, I'm going to back away. I'm going to work really closely on the things that, obviously where they need their support the most without burdening them. So challenge without burden. That's a really important watchword to use when you're teaching your kids. So super important. Invest in the relationships, invest in your understanding and assessment of the relationship being the priority over the curriculum, over finishing the school year, over what grade they're in. That's super important. If anyone has questions or comments about that, you're welcome to put that down. The other thing that is really important to invest in is the environment that you live in. Often burnout, I think, comes because we're so overwhelmed by our household duties, right? If you taking care of a household out of all of your duties and responsibilities that you have as a mom, you still have a huge responsibility, because raising children is a huge responsibility. So if you're raising your children and you've taken on the task of homeschooling them as well, you've added one more thing into the mix of what you have to do. And then if you have housework on top of that, this is where we get very burned out trying to jump back and forth between the roles that we have to perform. And I think that's one of the quickest ways of burnout. Your environment, your home, the place you live, how you run your life, is the thing that you actually have the most control over as a mom. We don't have control over our children's personalities. We don't have control over when they're in bad moods. We don't have control over other people and how they respond to the choices that we're making. But we do have a lot of control over our environment, even though that's actually the thing that often makes us feel the craziest. Your home should be a place that you want to be, right? If your home is chaotic, you're probably not going to want to be there, and you're going to be frustrated because at every turn, every room you walk into, you know, your angst builds because you can't stand what you see. You can't find things, right? So the chaos of our homes, if your home is chaotic, it disrupts our peace. It robs us of peace, but also it wastes a ton of time because we're always looking for stuff, right? We're always, you know, cramming stuff away, putting stuff in closets, looking for the thing that we crammed away, or looking for the thing that's buried under a pile of stuff. And for homeschooling, I don't think a person needs to be hyper organized, but I do think you need to know where your basic stuff is all the time. So chaos robs us of that. Culturally, we are drowning in stuff, right? And there's a real strong move going on in the last few years about simplicity and living simpler lives and owning less stuff. But in general, we're absolutely drowning in our stuff. And again, you know, this is a good thing because the silver lining is that you can teach yourself. And there's a lot of great resources out there now with this move towards, you know, simplicity or minimalistic living. And we don't have to be minimalists, but we can learn a lot from those who are and really cut down on how much we own. My watchword is if you own things, you should either use them or love them. And if you don't use them or love them, you should get rid of them. And that goes for basically everything in your home, you know, whether it's things in your kitchen or your clothing or the things that you choose for your child's education, use it or love it or get rid of it. So I'd like to talk a little bit about resources that are available that will allow us the opportunity to invest in our environment and make our homes places that we want to be so that we don't burn out. There was two resources that have really made a remarkable difference in my own life. And I'd like to share those with you here. So one of them is an older resource called Sink Reflections. The author, her name is Marla Cilley. If you've heard about the Cilley, is C-I-L-L-E-Y, if you look up her book. And she wrote Sink Reflections to help people who were struggling with getting out of chaos. And it's a beautiful, it reads like a story. It's a beautiful sharing of her life and how she moved from chaos into order. And she did that in very, very gentle ways. You've probably heard of Fly Lady. I would not recommend the website. I find it kind of frantic. The book is beautiful, though. When I read it, I read the book from the beginning to the end to get an idea of where I was going with it. And then I went through each chapter and did the things that she said. And I still, that was probably 18 years ago. And I still operate my house under her guidance because her methods were so powerful for me, for getting rid of things, for keeping order, for having a household run smoothly. And that's quite a thing to have your household run smoothly. You know, I raised 7 kids in that environment. And, you know, to this day, I can open up my bathroom cupboards and it's tidy under there. She just taught me so much. And it's an incredibly valuable resource. A couple of years ago, another book came on the market, which has a very different approach to order. I think equally as valid. I think the two books work together really well. It's Marie Kondo's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Also, really beautiful book. If anyone's used it, give me a thumbs up. That would be awesome. Her approach to this is very different. For her, it's less about housekeeping, and it's about getting rid of everything that isn't useful or isn't things that you love, but kind of in one fell swoop. Where Marla Cilley, thank you, Leslie. Where Marla Cilley shows us that we can very gently in baby steps learn how to do this. Marie Kondo says we can just give this 6 months of our life and kind of rip it to pieces and have a life-changing experience from it. I read the book. I was really interested in it. I had seen other people have transformation happen in their lives because of this book. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty powerful testimony. So I read it and I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do the things that she recommends, even though I think that I'm pretty far along on this journey. Well, I was pretty blown away. That was about a year ago. I was pretty blown away at how many things I still owned that I didn't use or love. And, you know, I'm pretty aware of all my stuff. I'm pretty aware. I'm always culling. I'm always on top of it. And yet she took me to a whole different level where now I'm not only, you know, things are well ordered, but also that I absolutely love everything I own because I don't own anything I don't love, right? Or is incredibly useful, but I love it because it's useful, right? So when I'm done talking, I'm going to put up several blog posts here in the comments of the talk. One of them is on comparing those two books and how I feel like they really work well together. But I think the main takeaway from those books is developing a system and having a plan. So assessing where you're at, where things are, and developing a system. Marie Kondo's system, like I say, is very different from Marla Silly's in that she's, you know, you just do it all at once, right, over a few months. I think that would be really valuable. If I was starting over and I had read her book, I probably would have taken a few months off of homeschooling to reduce the chaos and then applied the sync reflections to keep my home running at that level. You know, and I don't think our kids ever suffer from taking some time off and just reading and spending time together in our home. You know, just so you know, I've never actually done that for housework, but we've had, out of our, you know, 27 years of homeschooling, we've had two entire years where we had family crises, health crises. And one of them was about 10 years ago and the other was about 15 years ago. We took the entire year off. All I really did was read to my kids, which was a really beautiful time. One of those years, it was me having the health crisis and I was sick for a very long time. And nobody suffered for it. In fact, I would say even academically, they all surged forward. So if you need to take time off for health or some other reason, your kids will not suffer for it. You know, if you keep them engaged, you keep talking to them, you keep reading to them, they can't help but learn in a rich environment, right? And because we're homeschoolers, we generally have a rich environment that we raise our kids in. If you are wanting to get your house in order or you feel like you're living in chaos, it's not unforeseen to get help. I've had help many times over the years in my running of my home and helping getting help to keep order, especially when I had only small kids. Then of course it was tantamount. If you put your kids in private school, for a fifth or a tenth of the cost of one kid going to private school, you could get somebody in once a week to help you with things that you're not getting to. We don't always have the resources to do that. And in my own life, sometimes I did and sometimes I didn't. So I would hire somebody when I could. But you can also swap, right? If there's a mom, if you have something to offer, you know, again, the importance of having community, right? If you have something to offer somebody, you can teach math, you can teach English, you can teach theater, you can give writing lessons, you can teach kids to knit or take them on field trips, you know, something that you can offer people in your community. There might be a mom that you can trade with, or she maybe needs childcare, but you'd like help with your house once a week. You can swap like that, so it doesn't cost you anything. No money changes hands, but you are able to help each other in that way. And sometimes that can be a teenager too. Maybe there's a teenager who either will work for a fairly minimal wage, or also might be able to to swap something. Maybe they have you have something you can offer them that would be helpful in their life. And they can offer in turn their services, you know, with house cleaning or watching kids while you clean the house. Another resource that maybe we can tap into sometimes is, you know, if you have a close friend and your kids are this, you know, around the same age and you get along well, that you can help each other, right? So one day a week you get together at your friend's house and you go through her laundry list of the things she'd like to get done in a 2 or 3 hour period. You help her, the kids play, and then, you know, you have another day of the week that you get together at your house and do the same thing, right? This is also great for our humility to have somebody over to help you clean your house, you know, but this is good because it's enjoyable for us. We can have a cup of tea with a friend, the kids play, and, you know, we still accomplish something, right? That's something I've done many times in my life, and it's been a great, great thing. Also great friendship building exercise too. Sometimes just put it out there, even if you don't know somebody very well in your homeschooling group. Hey, I'm looking for a mom who wants to, spend one or two days a week, sharing and helping with the workload, sharing and helping with, childcare so that I can get work done that I can't get done otherwise. Like I said at the beginning, our environment is the single biggest thing that we have control over, and it makes such a difference to how you operate in your life if you feel like you've got some control over your environment and you're not drowning in stuff. Our stuff, our environment, our living in a non-chaotic environment really affects our our mental health, right? And it's okay if you feel like, okay, I'm going to take 3 months off, or I'm going to take 1 week off for the next few months so I can just focus on different areas of the house until I feel like I've got control over that. Or I take 1 day a week off. If you worked a 4 day week and took 1 day a week off and it was strictly a day to catch up on housework, you have my permission to do that. there's just nothing wrong with doing that, and your kids will not suffer for it, right? And it can, you know, teaches them how the importance of order and them helping around the house as well. And finally, I would like to talk about investing in yourself, because I think this is something as moms, you know, we tend to be martyrs. We do. Being a parent is laying down your life for someone else. And we should look on that as a really beautiful thing. We should not see it as martyrdom. But in order to do that most effectively, we do need to take care of ourselves. You know, that means exercise and fresh air and fulfilling our needs, helping ourselves to feel good about ourselves, helping ourselves to be happy, helping ourselves to feel pretty, if that's what's important to us, helping ourselves to feel ready to face every single day. So Sync Reflections, that book that I mentioned earlier, is also really profound in that area about the idea of taking care of yourself and how important that is to living a functional life and being an efficient person about the way you approach things. But a lot of times the feeling ready and feeling like we've got our act together is something that's going on in our head. And I'd like to share a story with you about a period of time that years ago, when I was first maybe only homeschooling for a few years, I was at a homeschool meeting, and the topic of the homeschool meeting is, you know, what do you do to take care of yourself? And it was a large meeting. There was 30 or 35 mums there. And every mom had a different answer. We went around the room answering the question, what do you do to take care of yourself or recharge your batteries? And every mom, you know, had kind of a different take on what that was. And it was an amazing thing what went on there. So basically what happened was a lot of moms said, I need to do something for myself every single day. So when my husband gets home, I go out for a 20-minute walk. Or after the kids are in bed, I go have a hot bath all by myself. Or my husband puts the kids to bed and I do, you know, go over my stuff for the next day. Or I go tidy the kitchen in peace. Lots of different answers, lots and lots of different answers to that. Time without children to kind of gain perspective, right? One mom said a really cool thing. She said, I hardly ever am away from my kids, but once a year, before sometime in the summertime, I go away for a 4 day weekend all by myself. I do, pardon me, all my school planning. I order all the things I want to order. I take myself out for dinner. I have a glass of wine. I stay in a hotel. And she did, that's what she did every year. And that was how she did, how she managed to sort of get her head cleared and gain her perspective, right? I know a mom who did this in the middle of the night. She hardly ever left her kids when they were small, but when they were all in bed, she had a couple of nights a week where she would stay up really, really late. She's a real night owl, really, really late at night when the kids were all sleeping, and she would get all her things done and get the house all tidied up and do her some reading and have some time for prayer and all of that in the middle of the night, right? For me, I had to have a morning off every week. And so my husband and I realized this at some point when I felt like I was going crazy, that we needed to plan for me to have some time off. And he said, okay, will you take Saturday mornings? And I did that for years. If I had a small baby, I would just take the baby with me. I didn't leave my kids when they were young. When they got to be toddlers, I would leave them at home, and getting hard to manage if I was out somewhere. I would leave them at home and I would just go for less time. I might, you know, go put them down for a nap and then take off for a couple of hours. And as they got older, then I could just, you know, take whatever time I needed without being concerned about little ones needing me. So that's how that worked for me. Now, here was the key in the whole plan of all these different women who shared their various stories. The key was to plan. Right? To have a planned time. That was the common denominator for success, was to have a planned time. and to, you know, have your husband on board or a friend that can help you so that you can plan some time away, however that looks, whether that's hot bath with the door locked and nobody banging on it, if that's a 20-minute walk in the evening, if that's, you know, a Saturday morning that you need to get away. The key was to know that that was coming, and that got all of these moms through this difficult time of needing some perspective, needing some adult brain time to kind of get your head together. I think that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, there was, I always go back to the village whenever I'm thinking about how we should live our lives. I always go back to, well, how would it have looked in a village, in a really cohesive village where families lived together, and cared for each other and held each other up, that we look for that, you know, as kind of a solution to the issues that we're dealing with. And I suspect in those days, you know, moms weren't taking off and going to the library for their Saturday mornings, or they weren't pulling in their time to get perspective in the middle of the night, or they didn't need their hot bath by themselves. But they had constant and regular support from their village, right, which was an extended family. Most of us don't have that, and we certainly don't have it right next door. Right. But it does really call to mind the need to create your village, to create a circle of people that, that you can lean on, especially when things are hard. You know, especially if you don't live close to your family, many of us don't live close to family anymore. You know, to create community and, you know, community is vital for all of these things, all these ways that we can invest in our, in ourselves, invest in our environment, invest in our relationships with our children. Having a strong community around us is vital to the success of that. One thing that I will say is that, I'm Catholic. I have a very strong, amazing Catholic community, that is my extended family and really beautiful. And I'm so grateful for that every day of my life. I don't think though, So Danielle is saying there's often more than one generation. It's true. We had an Indian family living next door to us, Danielle, when I was just a young mom, and they had, you know, I think three families living in their home. So there's a main family who owned the home, and they had a young two little kids. And grandma and grandpa lived in a suite in the basement. And then I believe they had another, like a sister and newly married sister and brother-in-law living with them as well. And whenever mom went to make dinner, grandpa took the kids outside and played with them in their backyard. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful working relationship to see. It was, really appreciated it. Just so you know, Danielle, if you joined us late, you can go back to the beginning. The video will just continue running, right, till I take it down, which I haven't taken any down yet, so. And so I think that we need to work very hard at creating community, not just for ourselves. So Tanya's saying this village idea is so good. I think anyone can be part of this village in different ways. It's absolutely true. And I don't think that even my village needs to be all Catholic. Mine happens to be that way primarily, but I do have many people that are people that I love, who are homeschoolers that I interact with, who may not be Christian. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is that here's what I found about living in a community, a really, really highly functional community that's beautiful and withstands difficulties, right? Is first of all, you need to deeply, truly love each other. Okay, that's really important. And you need to deeply and truly respect each other's decisions. That's really important. And to want to work towards relationships, right? That it's easy to just think, oh, that person kind of, you know, they have they're bad tempered, or they're, you know, they rub me the wrong way. But if our goal is to truly be the best version of ourselves, we will fit better into any village. You're not any, you know, community that you create, but you have to want to be the best version of yourself and work towards the relationships being cohesive. And that often means, you know, apologizing for your own wrongdoing, right? And assuming the best of others, just like we should be doing with our kids, right? So just to reiterate, we want to invest in ourselves. We want to invest in our relationships. We want to invest in our environment and create a beautiful community. I'm going to wrap up here. I will be popping back in every 10 or 15 minutes. If you have questions or comments, please leave them in the comments of the video here. Other people have come along and really appreciated reading everybody else's comments and ideas. I'll just leave you with a question now and maybe a couple more throughout the evening. How do you create your own village? How do you create your support network when you're homeschooling? And maybe what's one way that you invest in yourself? What's one way that that you take care of yourself, find time to gain perspective on your own kids?